T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We've got record-breaking heat, 90 degrees, mostly cloudy, wind out of the south at 15. It's a sauna outside, dew point at 62. Sports Sunday rolls on. It's 5:15. Eric Nelson in for Stevie T, who was in earlier for Denny Long. J-Lo, Jonathan Lowe, is our studio coordinator, hoping, wishing, praying that his Chiefs hold on against the Los Angeles Chargers in Carson, California. He doesn't want his Kansas City Chiefs to be the first victim for the L.A. Chargers. In the newsroom, Susie Jones. We call her Newsy Susie. Vikes win. Twins win. They have a 5-game lead over 3 teams for that final wild card spot in the American League. Starting to look like there's going to be October baseball for the Minnesota Twins. How about that? And the Lynx lose. Dagger defeat. Los Angeles Sparks 85, Minnesota Lynx 84. WNBA Finals Game 1 at the Barn. Chelsea Gray, a jumper late in the game. Final seconds, she had 27. Sparks lead the series 1-0. They'll play Game 2 on Tuesday night at the Barn. Well, yesterday I was lucky enough, along with Joe Jonkis, Dave Lee, Fritz Wahlvogel, and 37,355 other people to be at Target Field for a football game. That's right. St. Thomas, St. John's, the storied rivalry, played in a ballpark. And it had a D3 record crowd. Great ending. If you're a Tommy fan, they win it by a score of 20-17. And joining us now is the Associate Athletic Director from St. Thomas, Michelle Morgan. And Michelle, thanks so much for your time. And my guess is when that thing was over, you started to decompress, because I know you put a lot of work into it, you and many others.
I will tell you that today has been a slow-moving day, but, you know, it was a great day had by all, and if we could do it again, I think we would do it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, very well said, and I can tell you from my perspective, doing the broadcast with Dave Lee and Fritz, I would love to see another game like that in a bigger venue. It was a lot of fun. The plaza before the game, you were on the pregame show with us, couldn't believe the buzz. I mean, all the red, all the purple. I mean, I go to a lot of Twins games. I don't see it that busy before Twins games. It was remarkable.
It was. I think both institutions, both the alumni associations for both schools did a really good job about putting the word out there to get there early and spend some time with us, because the security measures to get into an MLB park are much different, like coming to any other MIAC game. So we wanted people to get there early, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, given the weather and how hot it was yesterday, that they had a good time and they had the opportunity to enjoy themselves and socialize before they got into the building too. So great atmosphere. And again, I think something that we would love to do, whether it be at Target Field or somewhere else in the future, I think we would love to do it again somewhere. It's just a matter of we are still soaking in this one and don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, certainly a lot of kudos go out to you and everybody else who helped make it possible. Dave St. Peter and the Minnesota Twins. You had to have a dance partner. You got that in the St. John's Johnnies, and it all kind of crystallized and came together. But I could definitely see this happening again at Target Field, or maybe the brand-new Allianz Field, future home of Minnesota United. But it's probably a game, Michelle, that's outgrowing O'Shaughnessy or Collegeville. I know that the Johnnies will never have a home game leave Collegeville, but this thing proved yesterday, 37,355, that a lot of people care about it.
Eric, that's 100% correct. You know, we know that there were people that didn't have affiliations to either school. They just wanted to see what the first football game at Target Field was going to look like. And the Twins were a great partner in helping us to promote that and make sure that they had utilized all of their assets to get the word on the street, not just through our channels with both schools. But again, I think if the opportunity presents itself, it's something that, you know, we would consider. But it's also really hard for us to take a home game and move it off campus. You have to recreate that atmosphere, and that's really hard to do, and that's something that's really important to us, that you know, all the pieces have to be right to make it work.
Michelle Morgan, our guest, Associate Athletic Director over at St. Thomas. Again, the Tommies knock off the Johnnies yesterday, 20-17. You heard it right here on WCCO. Game played at Target Field before a record D3 crowd of 37,355. Did the event exceed your expectations, Michelle? Obviously, you're happy St. Thomas won, but all the periphery stuff, did it exceed what you thought might happen?
100%. It was, you know, all of the long hours and the team effort to make all of the details matter. You know, the minor details that you pay attention are what make the difference between a good event and a great event. And again, we just wanted to make sure that safety was first, our key priority, and that the experience that they had on game day was something that they'll always remember. And of course, with a win, that makes it all the much better.
And it really did have a major league feel. I noticed the little purple lights on the top of Target Field in the upper level, the horizontal scoreboard or the vertical board in right field had the St. Thomas logo up where they display the time. Both video boards were showing replays. You had the tremendous fan bases, the Johnnies and the Tommies. You had the great setup before the game with the Star Spangled Banner and the massive flag out there. It certainly had a big time feel.
That was the intention. You know, there's certainly a lot of red that goes along in that building given the Twins logo, but we had to do our best to make sure that we could make it as purple as possible but still be respectful of the home of the Twins. You know, it was the home of St. Thomas. It was Tommy territory, I guess, for the day. But we did want to make sure that we were respectful to our hosts that day as well. And I think that what you saw that day and the details with purple complemented the existing elements that people still knew that they were at Target Field and that there was the Twins' home.
What's the feedback you've been getting now, basically 24 hours later?
I think the one word that kind of just sums it up is wow. It was a really hot day. And I think people, you're thinking it's 90 some degrees outside. It feels like summer still. It doesn't feel like football weather. But I think when people got there and got in and got settled, wow, take it all in. How many people are here? How cool is this? Once in a lifetime experience. And the amount of coverage that we've seen both locally and nationally from the media has been wonderful. It's allowed us to showcase Division III athletics in both institutions on a national level and showcase that it can be competitive. And these are scholar athletes, so they're students first and athletes second, which is pretty awesome.
And I love football and the elements. I the heat was a big story yesterday. It wasn't the rain that we thought might come in. It was the heat. And I think that gave it an extra dimension, the fact that, hey, you're going to play no matter how hot it gets. And you had that baseball dirt in a football field. It had that throwback feel. I mean, you only see that now in Oakland with the Raiders and the A's.
Yeah, heat was a concern, but we took safety measures to make sure we extended our quarter breaks a little bit longer to give our athletes on both sides a little bit more time to recoup. And again, the staff at Target Field and the Twins were great partners, and they know, obviously, baseball in the middle of the summer months and the heat, they know how to handle that. So they were staffed and planned accordingly to deal with any issues that arose. But all in all, I think, you know, people took appropriate measures to put sunscreen on and drink a lot of water. And I can tell you that Larry DeVito, the head groundskeeper over there, is probably ecstatic that it wasn't raining, because this field is going to be in better shape than had it been a mud pit that he had to get ready for baseball again.
All right, Michelle, congratulations. Job well done by you, the Twins, the Tommies. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. She's Michelle Morgan, Associate Athletic Director at St. Thomas. And it really was an epic day yesterday. And I was lucky enough to be there along with Dave Lee and Joe Jockas, Fritz Wallvogel, and Stevie T and J-Lo back here at the studios. 5:23 here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
90 degrees, record-breaking day as we hit the 9-0 here at WCCO. Mostly cloudy, wind out of the south at 15, but sticky. Dew point at 62. Sports Sunday rolls on 5:27. Eric Nelson with you in for Stevie T. If you missed it last night in the heat at TCF Bank Stadium, Minnesota United over Dallas FC 4-1. Minyu now has back-to-back wins for the first time this season. So congrats to the Loons. FC Dallas now has a 10-match winless streak. Christian Ramirez, one goal, two assists. And I'm really happy to see Christian Ramirez make that jump from North American Soccer League play, where he was last year with Menu when they were up in Blaine, to Major League Soccer. It's a jump, and he has passed with flying colors. I think right now you'd have to say he's the face of Minnesota United because he's been around this market for a while. Good kid, and hopefully the Loons will continue to have more success on the pitch. How about the NHL? All these sports now want to have a global footprint. We know the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to have a couple of games in China, NBA preseason games coming up. The NHL, they don't want to be left out either. The LA Kings in Vancouver actually played preseason games recently in Shanghai and Beijing. Hockey in China, there's not a lot of it. But the cities of Shanghai and Beijing got exposed to the National Hockey League. Speaking of the NHL, the Pittsburgh Penguins say they will White House in Washington, D.C. And this, of course, comes on the heels of yesterday's news that the Golden State Warriors, the NBA champs, are not going to go because President Donald Trump disinvited them. Now, they never really technically got an invite, the Warriors. They were very vocal via Twitter and other mechanisms saying that they might not go anyway. And if you circle all the way back to the day after the election, Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, he was very critical of Donald Trump. So it just goes to show you, though, where we are in this country. The Penguins are going to go. And let's be blunt here, folks. A lot of this is black and white. The Pittsburgh Penguins play in the NHL predominantly white. NBA predominantly black. And that's where this thing is right now as the polarization continues. But the Penguins will go to D.C. to visit with the president. It's 5:30 here on WCCO. Joining us now, he's in the Minnesota Vikings Ring of Honor, number 44, Chuck Foreman. He should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Chuck, always good to have you on the airwaves. I was at the game today. I know you were too. And I look up at the video board, and there you are being interviewed by Greg Coleman. You're signing autographs with the fans. You got a nice loud ovation. Much deserved.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We've got the greatest fans in sports up here in Minnesota. It was a great honor to be down there, and it was good to it was a great experience.
All right, you told me from the get-go when the Vikings drafted Dalvin Cook back in April that this guy can play. He's out of Florida State. He had 97 yards on the ground, one touchdown, and he caught 5 for 72.
Right.
He's a little bit like you were, Chuck. He's multidimensional.
Well, he's certainly multidimensional, and not only that, he can do so many things. I've watched several plays. If you watch when Case Keenum was throwing the ball, there was a blitz coming. He picked up that blitz, and he was able to get the ball off and make some big plays to a receiver. He run the ball, he catch the ball, and he comes ready to play. I think as long as he stays healthy, he's going to make them forget about me for sure.
Yeah, and maybe Adrian Peterson.
Don't make him forget about me, but I know he's going to be great. He's going to be a great addition to the team. And as I told you before, Eric, when I met him, what a great person. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, no doubt that's all good to know. And of course, the Vikings, you know, going in, a lot of people worried. Chuck, Sam Bradford out for the second straight week. In comes Case Keenum. Boy, Case Keenum, he was outstanding today, and the offensive line, for the most part, kept him clean. But when you throw three touchdowns, 369 in the air, and he had guys attacking the ball. Stephon Diggs, he high points it, doesn't he?
He certainly does. He's going to be a great receiver. He's making strides to be there up there with Ahmad and people like that. Randy Moss, all you need to do is be consistent and play long, and he'll be just fine.
You like Diggs. He's a Maryland guy like you are.
Yeah, he's a Maryland guy. In fact, he's got some relatives in my hometown, from what I understand. And, of course, he played at the University of Maryland. I think he's from a place called Gaithersburg, which is right up the road from me. But he's certainly quite a talent, and I'm sure his family's proud of him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be at TCF Bank Stadium Saturday to see the Maryland Terrapins and the Minnesota
Gophers.
I'm sure
he will be. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I might even be at that one.
Yeah, that should be a good one.
Yeah, it should be.
He's a great story. How about Adam Thielen? I mean, here's a guy who came out of nowhere, D2 Minnesota State Mankato. Right. 5 catches, 98 yards today, Chuck. Mm-hmm. He has a knack for running these routes and kind of breaking it off toward the flag, if you will, or an abbreviated fade route. But he can route run, can he?
He can run around like the best. And let me tell you, you know, when he first came to Minnesota and I'd be down in training camp, and I'm saying, you know what? He's going to be a major contributor to this team one day. And, you know, when they signed him to a contract extension, and he's just such a hard worker. You know, he knows the game. I mean, I got nothing but respect for him. I've been with him at a couple of different functions, and he's a nice person. That makes it even better to me.
Yeah, he really is. Adam's a great story.
And and just to be so appreciative of everything that's coming his way, it makes it special, you know. And the people in Minnesota deserve to experience what the fans experienced during my time, and that is a team that comes out and competes every Sunday, and you know they're going to win. You just don't know how they're going to win. I want these fans to be able to experience what it is to be a part of a Super Bowl team, a team that's participating in the Super Bowl. But it's a whole totally different feeling. And I really think that if the offensive line continues to improve like it's doing, quarterback plays like he does steady, and the defense, of course, continues to play at a high level, there's great possibilities for our team. So I'm looking forward to the season. Hopefully they'll continue to get better. The quarterback stay steady and keep the boat afloat, and we'll see what happens.
Chuck Foreman, our guest, he's in the Vikings Ring of Honor, should be in the Hall of Fame, two-time MVP, five-time Pro Bowler, played in three Super Bowls. And, Chuck, you brought up the defense, and that's where I was going to go next. Tampa Bay ran for 26 yards on 9 carries, so they had no rushing game. And when it looked like Jameis was bringing them down to get him back in the game, wow, some key interceptions, one by Trey Waynes, one by Sendejo, one by Harrison Smith. So three picks is huge.
It's really huge. It shows the pressure they put on the quarterback. We've got a tremendous front line on the defense, both the starters and the backups. We don't lose anything. I think they've got all that in place, and linebackers. I think they put together a really, really fine defense, and all we hope is that they stay healthy, stay consistent, and stay hungry. And when they do that, we can win any game. Because the games are won with defense. And if we keep these people out of the end zone, all we got to do is score 10 points.
Yeah.
And we can win.
All right, next Sunday, this is going to be a treat for you because your old friend, Ahmad Rashad, will join you in the Ring of Honor. They're going to have a Friday night celebration, and then they'll do the the coronation, if you will, on Sunday. But what does it mean for you to see Ahmad go in? And I would say this, long overdue.
Oh, no question about it. Ahmad, in my opinion, now, and I might be going back a few years, but, you know, there's not a better receiver in the Viking history than Ahmad. It might be someone's good, but none better. Ahmad could run. I remember we first got Ahmad. He still had an injured right knee, I think it was, and he could run a pattern unlike anybody you've ever seen run one, more like Paul Warfield-like, and people like that. And Ahmad could catch. He was a great, great athlete. And a lot of people don't know. See, Ahmad was a running back in college at Oregon before he became a wide receiver. So not only that, he's one of the finest people. And I'm not just saying it because of Ahmad. I'm just saying to you, I know when I've had things that I need to talk about or something like that, or, you know, he's a guy I could talk to and you can rely on good, solid advice. He's just a very special person, and to go along with a tremendous athlete. You see, we've had a lot of those up here, great players, but great people. And he is, I'm looking forward to seeing and spending time with him and his family.
Yeah, I remember a catch against Green Bay in the regular season as a kid, a walk-off winner in overtime, I believe. And then, of course, who will ever forget Tommy Kramer heaving one up to the heavens and Rashad backing into the end zone, catching it to win the old NFC Central in the snow and the cold of the Met. Even Bud smiled after that one.
Yes, he did. That was a great catch. But Ahmad, like I said, not to take anything away from the rest of them, Ahmad certainly is, you know, in my opinion, the finest receiver I played with in our time. And he was the best receiver in our time. I can't compare him with the guys here because, you know, defensive backs can't even touch him. You got to remember, Ahmad played at a time when the cornerbacks could bump you, knock you, and push you, do anything they wanted until the ball was thrown. Now you got guys, you know, if a defensive back breathes on him wrong, it's a penalty.
Yep.
So you can't compare these stats of today, which are really outrageous, to the stats of when I played. The rules were different. The players were different. You know, the whole game was different, you know. And, you know, and I see and I hear about, oh, this guy had this many. Hey, you know what? I might have had 200 receptions if he played today. That's how good he was, you know. And he led the league in receptions one year with 53. That's how different the game is. And so when people look at the game, Eric, they look at the stats. They don't look at the time. You know, 14 games. The rules were different. The game was rougher. The game was – the guys had so much to do to get open. You know, it was not the same. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the players today. But what I am saying is don't make that comparison from now's game to the game when we played it, because it was totally different. Believe me when I tell you. And so, like, leading the league, like I said, in reception with 53, I had 73 and led the league. Now they go out and, you know, a guy can have 134. Well, I'm telling you, you'd still be a good player. Don't misunderstand me. But those stats would not be the same.
No, I agree. These cartoon-like numbers we see every week, they've been created by rule changes.
That's it.
Chuck,
they ain't do nothing special other than change the rules.
One more thought.
Okay.
The president basically attacked the shield yesterday, the NFL, with the whole fire them if they take a knee, all that stuff. It's become literally a firestorm, a bonfire. So you have owners now taking, exception to what President Trump said. Players in different sports, not just the NFL. What's your takeaway? When you played, let me just say quickly, when you played, Bud made you guys practice the national anthem. Now spin this forward to now. How do you view all this?
Well, you know, I respect the country, no question about it. But guess what? They don't even say the Pledge of Allegiance in school anymore. You know, rarely do they do that. You know what I mean? But doesn't mean that kids don't respect the flag. But what I am saying to you is, like, I respect this country, and it's not even about disrespecting the flag, I don't think, personally. I think it's respecting a situation, and they want to bring attention to it so they can resolve it, you know? And, you know, when you get the president calling God SOB, son of a, that's, he's talking about somebody's mother, man. You can't talk about somebody's mother like that, you know. And it just saddens me to see, you know, where this is all going, and you know that he's opening up a can of worms that he can't close. You know, everybody's got a. That's the good thing about this country. The thing about it, and everybody loves it, you can express yourself. Whether we agree or not, it doesn't matter. But that's what separates us from everybody. You know, this is the greatest country in the world. You know, we all love it. You know, some of the things that happen in it, we got to address it. And that's what it's all about. And so, for me, you know, I just to listen to some of the rhetoric and stuff like that, and now it's going into the sports thing, and it's trying, like, you know, how do I put it? When you divide and conquer, you know, you have all these people thinking one way or another guy, and then you got, this is what this is about, not to keep people together, but to separate them. And we come too far for that setback. Now, we need to work together and come together with viable solutions to all these issues. I mean, they're real. You know, you can't walk away from them. You know, I respect everybody I meet, but certainly I'm not going to let anybody I meet disrespect me.
Yeah. Very well said, Chuck, and it's a conversation we will continue to have. It's all about dialogue and getting things out in the open.
Yeah, it is. You know, and just some of the – I'm just disappointed in just how some of this stuff comes up and comes about. I mean, I meet great people every day. I'm not talking about great white people, great black – I'm talking about great people. I don't care what color you are, where they're from, how you – there's so many, and, you know – and the people that get things done are always just regular, everyday people, you know? And so I'm just sitting here saying, look at this. Now, as far as we've come, somebody's trying to take us back 30, 40 years. You know, I remember when I was a kid, man, coming up through the racial stuff, man, it wasn't fun. You know, it was disappointing. But then we walked through it, we got through it, and it's gotten better. But now we see... underground, there's a lot of you know, a lot of stuff going on. So I don't know. It disappoints me because I think we're too big a country, too big a people, and we need to resolve these issues intelligently and respectfully for everybody.
All right. Thanks, Chuck. Very well said. Have yourself a good night.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right. He's Chuck Foreman, number 44 in the Vikings Ring of Honor at the game today. Should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no doubt that's a huge mistake on the Pro Football Hall of Fame to not have him voted in yet. 552 here on WCCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lynx lose game one of the WNBA Finals by one to the LA Sparks. Game two is Tuesday night at the Barn. Twins win in Detroit 10-4. They have a five-game lead over three teams for that final wildcard spot in the American League. They appear to be playoff bound. All right, it's an NFL Sunday across the USA. Let's get you caught up. Vikings win over the Buccaneers today at US Bank Stadium 34-17. Case Keenum, Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook, and the entire Minnesota defense, those were your stories for the Purple. They're 2-1. Other scores, Tennessee and Seattle 30-20. Titans lead that one early fourth in Nashville. Things tightening up in Green Bay. Cincinnati 21, the Packers 17. It was 21-7 at one point. That is a fourth quarter score. Also in the fourth, Kansas City leading the LA Chargers 17-10 in Carson, California. Final earlier today in London, UK, Jacksonville 44, Baltimore 7. The Buffalo Bills knock off Denver 26-16 in Western New York in overtime. Shocker in Chi-Town, Chicago 23, Pittsburgh 17. Atlanta, controversial finish. Falcons get the victory over Detroit 30-26 in downtown Motown. Indy 31, Cleveland 28, Brownies are 0-3. Houston and New England, 36-33. Patriots win it. Five touchdown passes for Tom Brady. New York Jets get victory number one. They knock off Miami 20-6. New York Giants still winless. They lose to Philadelphia 27-24. The Giants are 0-3. New Orleans goes into Carolina, crushes the Panthers 34-13. Tonight, Sunday Night Football, Oakland at Washington. On Thursday night, the LA Rams knocked off San Francisco 41-39. Tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, Dallas at Arizona in Glendale, AZ. It's 5:57. We gotta go. This is WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.